أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام على الحسين المظلوم الشهيد، السلام على الشيب الخضيب، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'azama Allah ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bil Husayn wa awlad al Husayn wa ashab al Husayn. Still we are living the time of the mourning for Abu Abdullah al Husayn. We have just passed few nights ago the 40th of Abu Abdullah al Husayn, and still the grief and the sorrow that we have, and in fact it should be forever, the grief that we have in our hearts still is fresh. It is with my pleasure to be invited in this gathering tonight to share with you the topic that was suggested to me under the heading of state and religion, an examination of seeing whether they are compatible or incompatible. I've been invited to be with you by the grace of God for four sessions. Whether the whole four sessions will be dedicated to the topic of state and religion or various topics based on your interest, inshallah we'll find out during the Q&A. But what I've decided to share with you tonight was a concise version of what I would, based on your interest, share with you inshallah in the coming sessions in elaboration, and if needed to go to the details of the discussion. So inshallah tonight the presentation will be just a concise and a brief version of the story and the discussion about the state and religion and the very famous and controversial topic of al-wilayat al-faqih, the authority of the just ruling Muslim scholar. To start with, I like to take you to the very root of the discussion, to go back to the history, centuries back, rather millenniums back, to look at the historical background. In today's political system, when they are introducing to us various political systems and governments, the religious system, which used to be the only one in the old days, normally is not introduced, or apparently is not much of the practice anymore with the rise of secularism, as inshallah I will talk about it. The most famous government system today, and perhaps the most popular one, is democracy, or monarchy in some of the countries, or dictatorship, or aristocracy, and things like that. Whereas when we look at the history in the old days, the claim that we have is that in the ancient time, state and religion have been mixing and melding together. There has not been such a separation between state and religion. In the old days, a head of religion would be indisputably, without any doubt, the head of a state too. Anyone who would be the representative talking in the religious community of the prophets or the messengers of God, at the same time, he would be the head of the community as well, in terms of running the affairs of the community. So separation of state and religion is rather a new phenomenon after the rise of secularism. The mixture of state and religion existed even not within the religious communities of, so to speak, the divine religious communities. Among the ancient Romans, for example, the mixture of state and religion well existed. The famous story of the execution of Socrates to death by the Romans, ancient Romans in the ancient Athena, was based on the same doctrine, the principle that even in the ancient Rome, state and religion were together. And therefore, the reason that among many, some other reasons, of course, as well, one of the reasons that Socrates was executed to death was his disrespect for gods, the gods of ancient Romans. Almost all ancient governments were therefore theocratic. Theocratic is a term used first by Flavius Josephus. Josephus was a Jewish historian of the first century AD. He referred, when he wanted to refer to the kingdom of Israel and Judah, he used the term theocracy, that the state that they had, the style of the state was a theocratic state. Theocracy is a combination of the Greek term thea, which means God, and theocracy, which means ruling. So theocracy means the ruling of God. Historically, theocracy was a form of a government in which deity and God was the only officially accepted ruler. Anyone who rules would be directly or indirectly the representative of God, as later on we'll find out the same concept in Islam, in the teachings of the Quran, that إن الحكم إلا لله. The ruling does not exist and is not allowed for anyone other than the Almighty God as the Creator, because humans, they are all equal between themselves. No one has the authority over another one unless the authority is given by the ultimate authority, and that is the Almighty God. From the perspective of theocratic government, God therefore himself is recognized as the head, and the rest, they come under the authority of God. Therefore, anyone who does not have any authority from God, he does not have the right to rule. He does not have the right to say. His saying is not, accepted. From the biblical perspective also, when we look at the history of prophets, ancient prophets mentioned in the Old Testament, Israelite prophets, not only they were prophets, they were also kings, so to speak, as the title of the head of their community. Prophets like Solomon, David, Joseph, Elias, and all these prophets that we refer to them as prophets in the Old Testament, very often, in fact, they are introduced and referred to, and in the Jewish tradition, as kings. There's no, inconsistency in between, because they were prophets, and at the same time, they were the heads of their estates. Therefore, in the Jewish tradition, prophets, and the main one was Prophet Moses, were definitely the heads of their communities, as the head of the estates as well. Moses, both as a messenger of God and the head of his community, he liberated Israelites, and therefore Exodus began to exist from the tyranny of Pharaoh, and they left Egypt apparently forever. So Moses for the Israelites in the Jewish tradition was not only a prophet, a messenger of God, he was also the head of the state. What he was saying would go, the Ten Commandments and the Testaments were also divine laws and rules, not only in relation between man and God, in relation between men, themselves. The same trend continues after the rise of Christianity. That was so far about the in Jewish tradition. The same trend we see it continuing after the rise of Christianity and with after Prophet Jesus, son of Mary, peace be upon him. A state church of the Roman Empire was formed centuries, of course, after Jesus, with the rise of and the power of the churches. During the Middle Ages, bishops were having the title of prince bishops. This prince bishops was referring to bishops who also were holding state position. For over centuries, churches were governing and ruling. It was only after the Renaissance and the rise of secularism that the authority, as I'll explain, began to reduce. Not only bishops, even above them, papacy would hold a higher position than bishops and state bishops. According to Catholicism, the office of papacy would be less than the office of prophecy, but above the position of bishops, in the sense that even they believe that the office of papacy is infallible as representatives of God. Today, however, after the rise of secularism, Christianity is so isolated, even in Italy, in the ancient Rome. In the ancient Rome, that was the hub of Catholicism and the ruling of Catholicism. Today, you see that even Catholicism does not, in practice, have any authority in Rome as the capital of today's Italy. The authority of churches are so limited to the inside the churches themselves. They have come up with a new version by force of Christianity, and hence they included and expanded to other religions mistakenly as well, that religion is a personal and private matter, shall stay within your hearts, should stay in your hearts, should not have any external expression at work, should not have any external expression in the society when it comes to political matters. Today, one of the serious problems that the priests are facing is that they are drastically losing their youth. Because who goes to church anymore? Huh? And in order to rectify that, what they have done, because they realize that they're losing their authorities, a priest is losing his own authority on his own children. So the remedy that they have come up with, some of them, is to just attach a youth center, so to speak, like a youth club, which is in many instances no much different from a nightclub, attach the church so that we can keep the kids off the street, so that we can bring them to the church, so to speak. Otherwise, there's no really authority anymore left for the churches. Having said that, if I have chance, I may explain and explore this to you, that this is all on the surface in the Western world. I believe, and there are evidences for that is still somehow, I'm not saying that the full authority, but somehow state and church, they have their hands together, but behind the scenes, working together on the same agenda. In other words, secularism, capitalism, is using religion, is using the power of steel churches to their own advantages, and they are sort of cooperating together, like in the example of Afghanistan and places like that. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When it comes to Islam, we understand that Islam is not a new religion parallel to other religions, especially talking about divine religions. Islam is the continuation of what the Almighty God had revealed to Prophet Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, talking about the lawmaking and the major prophets. And therefore, we have the Old Testament of the Judaism, the New Testament of Christianity, or Torah and Injil, and also we have the final testament. The Holy Quran is the final testament the Almighty God has sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In order for the Quran to encompass, to complete, and to correct the perversions that man-made perversions throughout the centuries occurred in the Old and the New Testament, in the original Torah and the original Injil, that even today Christianity does not recognize any scripture for Prophet Jesus, so much it was distorted. Today we have Gospels. There is no such thing as a singular term of Gospel of Jesus. Yes, Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of John, but no Gospel of Jesus because of so much perversion in it. By the way, because Islam is the continuation of all the previous divine religions, as such, the same practice that was practiced by Prophet Moses and the previous prophets in the sense of being the representatives of God on earth as the prophets and the messengers, and at the same time leading the community in all their affairs, included political affairs. Likewise, the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by far he was having these two offices, definitely to speak to, the least, the office of prophecy as the messenger of God, and the office of the head of the state. When we study Quran, and I urge you to study, for example, Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9. Surah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, chapter 47 of the Holy Quran, undoubtedly, this is undisputable, that the Prophet of Islam did establish a state, especially when he was in Medina. The Prophet of Islam, like today's governments, had a judicial system. The Prophet of Islam had administration, and he was leading the administration that he had made himself. Like all other countries in the world, the Prophet of Islam and the state that he established had a defense system, a defense force, an army, all right? Because so many wars were imposed against the Prophet. When we study the jurisprudential rules and laws of Islam, we come across so many examples. As I said tonight, I'm just going through a brief discussion of the topic. If needed, by the grace of God, we go to the elaboration of it to prove that there is absolutely no doubt that such a comprehensive religion is not only a spirituality left to individuals, a relation to be built between them and God, talking about the hereafter, ignoring the life of this dunya. Because the notion that is accepted in Islam is that the life of this dunya is the bridge and is the capital for the hereafter. All right? So the Prophet of Islam, having all these systems, the economic system, the no-interest banking system that does exist in Islamic jurisprudence, and many such examples, leave us with no doubt that yes, the Prophet of Islam did establish an Islamic state in Medina, and the story was supposed to continue. In conclusion, there was therefore no dispute that Islam is not a religion of Friday go to mosque or privately praying and nothing else, limiting your life into the mosque if you want to be a religious person. A good, pious, religious Muslim is the one who also has a say and has an insight when it comes to political matters. Isn't this famous saying of the Holy Prophet of Islam, who says that whoever wakes up and leaves daily and hears the cry of other Muslims or cry of other oppressed people for help, and yet, and he can do something about it, and he doesn't, he is not a proper Muslim. Doesn't this indicate that in today's political issues, a Muslim who is indifferent, no matter how many night prayers he offers, still, according to this authentic hadith of the Prophet, he is not a real good, Muslim. After the demise of the Holy Prophet of Islam, there was no dispute, and no one has ever claimed to succeed and to be the successor of the office of prophecy, to say that after the Prophet of Islam, whether Abu Bakr or Ali ibn Abi Talib, al-'Iyadu billah, were the prophets, messengers. There is no dispute, no claim. All Muslims are unanimous that the office of prophecy ceased to continue with the Holy Prophet of Islam. The Prophet of Islam was the seal of the prophets. However, Muslims, Sunni and Shia, both agree that the prophets had successors and khulafa. The dispute, however, is about the examples, the application of the concept, whether the caliph, the authorized caliph after the Prophet was Abu Bakr, was Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. This caliphate is to succeed the political position of the Prophet, to succeed the position of the Prophet as the head of the state, okay? So that's again another proof which leaves us with no doubt. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in one of his very famous sermons, the third sermon of Nahjul Balagha, a very fiery sermon known as Khutbah al-Shaqshaqiyya, when he speaks about, this is apparently few days after he was approached by the community, begged by the community to lead the community as the head of the state, after they were fed up with all the previous rulers, and especially Uthman, and they ended up killing him and appealing to Imam Ali alayhi salam to lead the community. Look at what the Imam says and how the Imam sets a principle for us. And I quote, أَمَا وَالَّذِي فَلَقَ الْحَبَّ وَبَرَأَ النَّسَمَ لَوْلَا حُضُورُ الْحَاضِرِ وَقِيَامُ الْحُجَّةِ بِوُجُودِ النَّاصِرِ وَمَا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعُلَمَاءِ أَلَّا يُقَارُوا عَلَى كِذَّةِ ظَالِمٍ وَلَا سَغَبِ مَظْلُومٍ. The Imam says that, behold, understand this fact, that by him who split the grain to grow, i.e. the Almighty God, and created living beings, living things, if people had not come to me, later on we speak that based on this we understand the republic in Islamic State. Imam Ali alayhi salam always, from after the demise of the Prophet, had the authority as the head of the state. But until people recognized him, asked him, and in simple term of today, voted for him, he had no responsibility. It's like a scholar, like Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, the time that he was in exile in Najaf, for example. He was Waliyyi Faqih then as well. But until the nation of Iran, they asked him, approached him, majority voted, then he's executing his authority. Likewise, that's what the Imam says, that if people had not come to me and supporters had not exhausted the argument, and had it not been that the Almighty God has taken a pledge and a promise from the scholars not to be silent, not to accept the oppression of the oppressors, and the oppressed being oppressed, they should not, scholars should not be indifferent and silent and say that, well, there is no authority, there is no politics in Islam. Scholars have the responsibility. God has taken a pledge from them. Had it not been that, لَأَلْقَيْتُ حَبْلَهَا عَلَىٰ غَارِبَهَا, you would have seen that I would have cast the case and the rope, I mean, of caliphate to its own neck. Imam is using a simile now, as if caliphate is like a camel, that the Imam says that I would cast the rope of this camel on its neck, meaning that Ali doesn't need the government for the sake of government. Ali doesn't need to be a statesman for the sake of being a statesman. They're not power-thirsty type of people. It is because of the responsibility that they have between them and the Almighty God. All right? A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, if you say salawat, inshallah I will share the hadith with you. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A man came to the Holy Prophet of Islam and said, wanted to show off sort of, Ya Rasulallah, Al-Imara and the government is not a good thing. I hate politics. I like to be a pious man. The Prophet corrected him, said, Ni'ma shay'u al-Imara. Don't say that. In fact, government is very good. Liman akhadaha bihillaha wa haqqaha. For the one who is entitled to that, for the one who is authorized for that, for the one who knows how to use this capital for the benefit of the community, for the benefit of people, to use it to enhance people's justice and growing, spiritual growing and different aspects of it. But yes, وَبِئْسَ الْإِمَارَةِ لِمَنْ أَخَذَهَا بِغَيْرِ غَيْرِ حِلَّهَا وَحَقِّهَا. Government is so evil, but for the one who has abused it, for the one who has usurped it, for the one who was not entitled to it, was not his right, he usurped it, as the Imam alayhi salam says. For such people, yes, there would be a great torment on the day of judgment. After Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam also fought to continue the path of the father, but like his father, he was also assassinated to death and was martyred. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was silent for over 10 years until he found the opportunity again. The minimum required companions, the most loyal companions, and therefore again, as the successor of the Prophet, he cannot be indifferent. For the same reason that his father Imam Ali said, as I mentioned in Khutbat Sheikh Shaqiyyah. When he arrives on the plain of Karbala, again Imam Hussein alayhi salam states his mission. And the reason that he is standing and he's raising sword against the tyrant of his time. The Imam says, Allahumma, as if he is supplicating, but he's passing a message to us, huh? Allahumma innaka ta'lamu annahu lam yakum ma kana minna. Tanafusan fi sultan. Oro, Ya Allah, you know that what has happened, what we are doing, is not because we are competing for authority. This is very important. Not that because Imam Hussein likes to be a king, a khalifa, president, you name it, whatever, the head of the state, for the sake of being the head of a state. Okay? Like normal, many politicians today, that they like to be there for the sake of being there because it's a very good revenue, good position, and etc. etc. وَلَلْتَمَاسًا فِي فُضُولِ الْحُطَامِ. Not because you can enjoy the money of Baytul Mal and enjoy a good luxury lifestyle. Not because of that. وَلَكِنْ لِنَرَى الْمَعَالِمَ مِنْ دِينِكِ. Huh? Because we want to see all the nuriyal ma'alim min dinik. Because we want to see the triumph of your religion. We want to hold the head of the state to make sure that Islam is executed and the law of God is governed. ونظهر الإصلاح في بلادك. Because we want to see reformation in your land. ويعمل المظلومون من عبادك. Because we want to secure and support the oppressed people wherever they are. وَيُعْمَلْ بِفَرَائِذِكَ وَسُنَنِكَ وَأَحْكَامِكَ. We want to see that your obligations, your recommendations, and your rules are practiced, not the rules of other people. Despite all of this, unfortunately, throughout the centuries, the other imams, from the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that there was a big massacre against him and they killed him and all his companions and family members. After that, none of the imams had the opportunity to execute the law of Islam, the law of establishing a state. Inshallah, if needed, we go to the details and the historical evidences for that, that all of them were fully against the tyrants and the kings of their time. Although they did not have the opportunity, as the people's support was not there for them to rise against them. All right? But the perversion began, and the form of the Islamic state system was perverted into monarchy style. kings after kings, and it became an inheritance from a king to the prince, next prince, until few decades ago, that after about 1400 years, for the first time, an Islamic state was established in Iran, a political system that was voted by 98% of a nation. It reminds me of a story that once in Sydney, an Aussie guy popped into the center and he was very much upset. He came straight to my office and he said that, what the hell is going on in Iran? Why can't people just live like us in a secular liberal world? And why does it have to be an Islamic state and the Sharia law and things like that? I said to him that, mate, hang on a second. Do you believe in democracy or you don't? He said, yes, of course, that's what I'm talking about. I said, well, in a democratic society, if 98% of a population vote for something, if in Australia, if in the States, if anywhere else, 98% of a population of the population of that nation vote and they say that, look, we want Christianity and we want the Bible to be the common and the canon law and the recognized law of the land. What's the problem with that? Do you have any problem? Said no. I said, well, that's the same. In Iran, 98% of the population voted for the Holy Quran to be the book of law for them and voted for the religion of Islam to be the law for the country. Isn't this democracy? Or democracy is only where secularism is introduced and is recognized. By the way, under the full supervision of a jurist who is just, the most learned, among the most learned scholars of his time, God-fearing person who meets the conditions, criteria that Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam had introduced, an Islamic state, not a monarchy, based on election and vote for the first time after millennium centuries was established in Iran. But because they wanted to stand against the tyranny, against the oppressors, because he introduced a new government and political system, which now has become a competitor to the Western style, all the problems began. Because of their stand against the occupied Palestine, the problem began against this state. By the grace of God, inshallah, if there was a need, we continue, we go to the details, inshallah, of this story. My time is over, and I want to also share a quick majlis related to Arba'in, inshallah, with you, and after that, I'm at your service for questions and comments, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayki ya Aba Abdullah. You also can turn off your lights to enlighten your hearts, inshallah. And follow me tonight. Let's go to Medina and let's escort and follow Sayyid Zainab Salamullah alayha, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and all the members of Ahlul Bayt who had been taken as captives. Sallallahu alayki ya Aba Abdillah. مدينة جدنا لا تقبلينا فبالحسرات والأحزان جئنا. سيدي سلام الله عليه is talking to her city, to her town, the place of her birth. Upon approaching this city, all of us, when we've been on a trip and we are returning back home, know what is like home, we say. It's really pleasing us as we are approaching our country, our city, place of birth that by instinct we love. I don't know whether you have, God forbid, ever experienced this, that one of your family members, a dear to you, has passed away. Let's say someone has lost his father, and the father was born in Lebanon, in Iran, somewhere in the Middle East, and now by his request and by his will, the relatives, his children, his family, his wife, they want to take the body of the deceased to Lebanon, to wherever he was born, to bury him there. As the airplane is approaching and is getting closer to the destination, you can imagine that the family are expecting the body to receive at the airport, at the destination. All right, as you are going and approaching the city, let's say you are getting closer to Beirut airport, how would you feel really? You like to step in and at the same time you don't want to go. You don't know how to approach and how to meet the family, relatives and friends. But there is no comparison still, because you know what? Still in such situations would have the body of our dear with us to be buried. It would give them a bit of relief at least. But Sayyidi Zainab Salamullah alayha, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, they were approaching the city of Medina without having her sons, without having her brothers, without having her master, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. That's why Sayyidi Zainab is stepping back and forth. She is wondering whether she should enter the city or not. She talks to the city and said, once upon a time in this town, I used to have the messenger of God with me as my grandfather. My parents, Imam Ali and Fatima al-Zahra, used to live with us. My older brother Hassan, and especially my dear Hussein, used to be with me. I used to have my sons, Aun and Muhammad, with me. But what would be the motivation of Zainab to go back to this town and live there for what? No matter what, she stepped in and she is crossing through people who are wailing and crying. Let's follow Sayyidi Zainab tonight. As she entered the city straight, she goes to the holy shrine of her grandfather, the Prophet of Islam. And like a volcano, she erupted. She started talking to her grandfather, Ya Jaddah, Inni Na'iyatun Ilayk, Akhil Hussain. Oh, Grandpa, I brought the sad news of the martyrdom of your grandson, Hussein. Oh, Grandpa, remember, I was a little kid. I remember you used to kiss the neck of Hussein. You used to kiss the hands of Hussein a lot. Ya Rajadda, only it was on the evening of Karbala when I went to see my brother at the murder site at the Maqdal, and I saw my headless brother whose body was also, Ya Allah, whose body was also crushed under the feet of the horses. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa sa'alamu al-lazeen al-zalamu أيام قلبين ينقلبون صلوات